Minitoons, welcome to Minitoons, episode 17. It's been a while. Maybe you don't even remember us anymore. This is Cece from the Sailor Moon Obsession blog. Also with us is our very darling and beautiful Eku.
Ciao.
Oh, cool. Okay. And also with us is our very funny and handsome Brad.
You're good.
Yay! Hola, chicos. So we got requested on Twitter that they wanted to hear us greet in different languages. So there you go. Request number one fulfilled.
Represent.
So how are you guys? Eku, how have you been?
I have been pretty crazy.
What do you mean pretty crazy? What's going on?
Very, very busy.
Oh, busy. I thought you said crazy.
Both.
Cool. And how have you been, Brad?
Crazy busy too. Yeah. I've just gotten back from the New Year's rush. So, three weeks in Australia and pretty much working every day since I've been back. So, yeah. Finally looking forward to some free time that I can spend online.
Yeah.
And catch up on all the Sailor Moon news and content.
Yeah, not that much news, but we'll get into that. Yeah, same here. I was also off on a break, and we're back, and I'm also getting a hang of the news and all the information coming out. It's been 3 months since our last podcast, but really not much has happened. I mean, normally we say that every month, but, you know, it's only 30 days. But now it's been like 90 days and nothing has happened.
I was really relieved. Well, normally, like, whenever we go on holidays, like, there's, like, a big something announced. Like, but we're not near a computer to, like, cover it or talk about it. So I was, like, the whole time in Australia, I was like, please, nothing big get announced. Nothing big. And then nothing was. So I'm kind of grateful for that.
That's awesome. Well, you know, for us, not for the Mooney community in general. We want news.
I think actually all the companies took a holiday too, and I think this week they've all kind of come back and started releasing stuff.
Yeah,
which we will talk about in a second, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some activity on Twitter, especially from GE Animation that had been like MIA for months, and then also Kodansha started tweeting today, and what, you know, just like a little bit more. That's what I mean. But yeah. So, I guess we're going to jump right into the news. International news, no news.
check.
Okay, that was off the list. I mean, all I know is that, oh, wait, I did read something from the Sailor Moon Italy blog that they were printing the anime comic books. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah.
But I think sales aren't going so good on that one, so there might be a chance they might cancel it. But Italy was getting a lot already, so.
Yeah. They're like years ahead of us in Mooney time.
Yes. They might continue it, they might not. Right now it's, you know, up in the air. But
SailorMoonWorld.it had their birthday this week.
Yay!
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so happy birthday to them. Awesome site.
Felicitaciones. I don't know if that's in Italian, but that's certainly in Spanish. Yes. There you go. Anyway, also, I remember from Germany, they have already finished their run with the manga, and now they're starting to get the short stories. So that's for international news. And then...
Segue.
Yeah, into the U.S. So does anybody want to start with... You, Brad, I think you should start with the top of our list because we have something that, you know, you're really close to this. You feel very strongly about this issue. So why don't you go ahead and start and tell us about it?
Well, it's pretty exciting. Actually, I had a good source of mine, which I can't really talk about, but a very reliable source told me about a month ago that they're getting a new translator for the English manga starting from volume 9. And people started to receive their copies this week, and it's true. And the new translator, her name is Mari Morimoto, and she's worked on, I think, Evangelion, Naruto, some pretty big series. And very excited to have her take over the manga from the previous translator.
So is she, like, a native speaker? Because, you know, her last name.
I did look her up about a month ago, and so I'm going from purely memory. But I think she's a pretty much native English and Japanese speaker. She went to, I think, university in Osaka, going from memory. But she's actually a lot, very qualified. She's done a lot of studying and a lot of experience in the industry. And I looked up some of her translation works with Naruto, and I really like her style on that series. The dialogue is very fresh and natural. The sound effects I can actually read. And again, I haven't seen Volume 9 yet myself.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure, because a lot of the time the company can dictate the style of the translation. So I can't really say right now one way or the other how it is. But it looks promising, because I think any change is a good change, really, right now. I don't know, but I'm a huge fan, but I kind of really lost a lot of enthusiasm for the English release of the manga. I really did find myself reading it as a out of habit, or really just to, like, I don't know, check and look at the content and
write
articles for my side. I wasn't really reading it as a fan anymore, which was a bit depressing, because I can reread the Tokyopop version several times, and even Mistream's fan scanlations several times, and always a passion for the series.
Yeah.
But never really felt it from the Kodansha translation. So for me, I'm really excited about this. And I think this could be like the rebirth of the manga.
So there was like a 3-month gap between the last issue and this one. Do you think it was because of the translator, or just a break, or what do you think?
I didn't think about that until someone actually posted that on a forum I read yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was because, like, the Christmas rush, like, no one's going to be buying it in, like, if it came out late December.
What?
With the regular 2-month release pattern. But it does make sense. But originally they actually said they translated all 12 volumes at once, like 2 years ago or a year ago, when the manga was first announced.
Oh.
So basically there's been, like, they did it all in one batch, and they've been releasing them just like in 2-month release periods to, you know, spread it out a little bit.
Yeah.
So my guess is, like, if it was due to the new translator, I guess they basically cancelled the production of the old translation and brought this woman on to retranslate the rest of the series.
Right.
Which does make sense. But also it's interesting, like, the previous 2 volumes, I think 7 and 8, when they had their preview pages in their previous volumes, you'll notice that the dialogue has been completely rewritten for the issues when they actually came out.
Yeah.
So the preview pages for Volume 7 in Volume 6, very different dialogue than what's actually in Volume 7, the published version.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure, I don't think the new translator came in and redid that, because the old translator is still credited. But I think the company itself was aware of the issues, because a lot of fans were getting quite vocal about how awkward the dialogue was and how strange a lot of the translations were.
Yeah.
And at least the company by themselves were making changes to the script that the translator had translated previously. And I guess now, instead of them just doing that, they brought in someone else just to redo the whole thing from scratch. Maybe, but that's they don't really communicate this much information to us. Is purely speculation.
Of course.
But yeah, either way, it's exciting, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. But I guess in our next issue, well, actually, by the time you listen to this episode, I should have a review of it up on Mookie.net, and I'm sure maybe, I don't know, Sisson, you might have something on Sailor Moon Obsession as well.
Sure.
where are you up to in the manga?
Oh, I'm way behind. I think I'm still on Volume 7, so.
Oh, that's all right. It's the only one.
Yeah, but, I haven't read it. I just bought it.
Spoiler, Sailor Saturn's the Messiah of Silence.
No.
But awesome speculation, Arthur, I'd throw in, is that, so this is where it gets confusing. So, basically what I say, like I say, I call the Tokyopop release the first generation, the Kodansha one we're getting now, the second generation, and there is a third generation release, which Kodansha says will be coming out after they've finished with this version. It's going to be like A4 size color, and that's going to be coming out in Japan this year sometime.
What?
So a lot of people have been thinking, like, whenever they release that next generation of the Sailor Moon manga, they might require a new translation. Hopefully, if that happens, and this translator is good, they'll use her on the next version of the manga as well, rather than just recycling this translation. Because we have been told that the next generation of the manga, the third gen in Japan, will be restructuring the chapters again.
Yes.
So it won't be 12 volumes for the main story, it'll be 10 volumes.
Mm-hmm.
And Sailor V will be in one volume instead of two. So it'll be very confusing as hell for those of us who are writing, like, story guides for our websites. Referencing the chapters now is just a pain in the ass. It's getting very confusing with the different pieces.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so maybe they might use a new translator for that.
And speaking of confusing, why don't you tell us the whole deal, or we can talk about it, but you know what's the whole deal with the Aishoban, which is the A4 that you just mentioned, but for Japan. But
okay, so I'll run through it again because it gets so confusing. Yes. So basically, I've kind of just called them on my side, like, first gen, second gen, third gen, because the Japanese names can be confusing for those who don't speak any Japanese.
Okay.
So the first generation release was the original collected. Well, first of all, the manga was released in Nakayoshi magazine.
Yep.
So it had the manga in there with all these other manga series published in a monthly magazine. Each chapter was, like, released each month. Then that was collected by themselves into the, like, trade paperback or graphic novel kind of small regular manga collection. That is the first release, the first generation. That was used for the English Tokyopop release.
Right.
Now, in Japan, to celebrate the, I think it was maybe an anniversary, 10 years maybe,
yes.
And the Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon live-action show, they re-released the manga, resorted all the chapters. Naoko Takeuchi redrew a lot of the pages and a lot of the panels and even did some script changes.
And the covers.
And new covers too. And that was released, they called the Shinsoban.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
In Japan. So I call that the second generation release. That is the version that's being released now in English by Kodansha. So we're using that second generation Japanese release right now in English in the US. And coming soon this year for the 20th anniversary in Japan, they've actually re-released that second generation version with some slight color alterations. It's just this month. So they've basically digitized. Before it was all analog printing. Now they've actually gone into the computer and, like, digitized the files and reprinted the second generation Shinsoban release.
Mm-hmm.
There really are no content changes at all. You can notice, like, a slightly brighter kind of colors on the cover and the color pages. And there's, like, one of the inner flaps now doesn't have Naoko's profile. It just has, like, Sailor Moon and big letters on it. But really there are no content differences. It's just basically like a reprint of the same generation reprint, kind of like the Harry Potter books, how, like, Philosopher's Stone gets reprinted again and again.
Yeah.
It's just different versions of the same release. There's no, like, story changes or anything. But, later this year, in addition to the reprint of the second gen, they're doing a new third gen or Aizoban release. This will be A4, chapters restructured again. They haven't really told us that much about it,
mm-hmm.
but they are assuming there will be some changes to the script, possibly bring it back to the first generation manga. For example, in the second gen, they changed some of the attack names to match up with the live-action Sailor Moon show, Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon.
Ah.
Now that that's been off the air for almost 10 years, maybe in this Aizoban third generation release, they might change the attack names back
to
the way they were before the live-action. Or maybe even to tie in the new Sailor Moon anime that's coming out this year,
ooh,
too. So, again, we don't know. And that's been delayed. It was going to come out, I think, was it October last year? But it's been, like, delayed, delayed, delayed. And now there's no release date. I asked the editor, Osobu, on Twitter just a few days ago. And he replied, said there's basically no release date yet. They have no idea when it's coming out. They've got a lot of stuff to sort through.
Yeah.
And they had a meeting this week, I think yesterday or the day before, in Japan with all these international publishers, presumably negotiating what's going to happen with this manga release or even that art book they were talking about at our Comic-Con.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's what's happening with that. And I've gone off on a tangent, I think, and I can't remember what you wanted me to talk
about.
Yes,
I was like, okay, thank you for finishing the list.
So that's the primer on all the different versions of the manga.
Yeah.
Hope that helped. Now, what was I going to talk about?
Nothing. We just needed... Well, actually, I wanted you to say exactly what the deal is with that obi that came in the new manga, and it's a 20th anniversary obi.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So for those who don't know, an obi is just basically just like the little, like, paper wrapped around, like, the outside of the book released with that promotional material. You see the same in, like, you know, English novels and things like that. So this just had information on it about the Sailor Moon's anniversary. The original release had one too, just advertising the live-action show. This one, it just didn't really say anything at all quality content. It just said new anime this year sometime. new manga A4 release this year sometime. Woman Hero Clover Z is doing the song for the Sailor Moon anime.
Okay.
And that was pretty much it.
Okay.
It was just kind of stuff we already knew with very general descriptions.
Right.
It also mentioned like a Sailor Moon fair. And some people are a bit confused about this, but fair is just kind of Japanese English for like a campaign or like a like promotional period.
Okay.
So it's not, they're not actually having like a big like Easter show kind of thing.
Okay.
Like with balloons and like rides. It's very much just like they're releasing the new anime, the new manga, maybe some DVDs. That's the fair.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's all it is, basically, like a big Sailor Moon merchandise push this year. And there was like a little stamp or like a coupon on the other side of the Obi on the back.
Yeah.
And apparently there's going to be like a raffle, which makes me think it's going to be in-store. So you basically have to give them like the proof of purchase stamp you got from the manga or I'm assuming other Sailor Moon merchandise too.
Mm-hmm.
And you get like one entry in the raffle for each coupon you have.
Oh.
And kind of think like there was that episode in the anime where Sailor Mars uses her mystical powers to win the mm-hmm. prize. She like turns the handle and like the golden ball comes out of the box. So a similar thing, like stores in Japan have heaps of those all the time. The 7-Eleven has one. It's like a lucky dip. You just pull out a ticket and you get like a prize.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it would be something like that because they said like raffle.
Well,
but we don't know. They said the information will be in Nakayoshi Magazine, presumably next month. So we'll find out more then.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, you've pretty much said everything we had reserved for the rest of the show. Okay, bye. Okay, never mind. So there's also finally confirmation, I guess, because now you can pre-order the short stories for the American release of the manga, which is pretty great. We knew they were going to, you know, publish them, but it's nice to see that they're actually, you know, there, ready to order.
Mm.
And that's about it.
Yeah. It's also volume one. So volume two isn't up for pre-order yet.
Right.
But assuming it's going to be like, well, I guess this one's September 2013. So volume two, maybe November.
Yeah.
But in the second generation, the Shinsaban re-release, they cut out all the short stories.
Yeah.
And kept the main volumes 1 to 12, just the main story arcs. And all the short stories were thrown into separate volumes.
Maybe that's why I was so confused about it. I just thought that it was like, oh, random. Those are the short stories. Okay, so like when the girls meet a vampire and
that. Yeah, exactly. All that. And like the entrance exam stories with like Amy's first love and
right.
all that. So that's all in the short story volumes.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful.
And also, there's the parallel syndrome comes out in one of the art books, actually.
Oh,
yeah, yeah,
okay.
That's from one of the art books, and yeah, that will be in volume two of the short stories.
Yeah,
and
so,
that's the first release out here.
Yeah, so that's all it is. It's just so all those like random like one-off kind of short stories from like the Tokyopop manga, they've just been collected into like two separate volumes. That way, you can read the main story arc without any random like what's going to happen, will they live or die next chapter, exam battles.
<Yeah.
laughs> I need to pass that exam. So,
yeah,
that's all
fun
it is.
Beats, though.
But they are fun. They are fun. And they're a lot better to read in short bursts as well. Because you get like 4 or 5 per volume, different stories.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm. So they're fun. Fun, fun, fun.
Yeah. Anyway, let's continue. Also, we have a new Hot Topic shirt after a few months also of no new merchandise from Hot Topic.
Hot.
It's actually one of the manga drawings, but, you know, redrawn by Marco Albiero. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. It's gray, again.
Well, it looks, I like how it has it, like, in a circle.
The composition is nice. The colors are nice. And, you know, it just, man, it's so dull. those shirt colors are, you know. Oh, man. Maybe it's just me because I never wear gray. Or I would never wear Sailor Moon and combine it with gray. I don't know. I'm just frustrated because all the shirts are gray, you know?
But I guess, like, more people would wear gray than, like, that aquamarine Neptune shirt. Gray goes with more clothes than, like, aquamarine.
but but if you're going to wear a Sailor Moon shirt, you have to commit to it. Okay, you can't just say, "Oh, I'll just wear this. I'll just wear this gray shirt." No, if you're going to wear a Sailor Moon thing, it has to be pink and bright and, you know, sparkly. Whatever, you have to commit to it, not just make it discreet.
I didn't sign on for this.
rule number 46 of being a Moonie.
I don't see that in writing.
All right, okay. Let us know what you think in the comments. Nobody has been commenting lately, by the way. Nobody comments on the podcast.
I'll say, just for those who don't know, like, by comment, she means on the SailorMoonObsession.com, on the post about this episode. Comment on that post.
Yes. It'd be nice to know if you guys are, or what parts of the podcast you guys are enjoying more. Yeah. Is it the commentaries? Is it the news? Is it, you know, whatever you guys like or not? Let us know.
Yeah, and Facebook too. We have a Facebook page.
Yes, the Mooney Tunes Facebook. Okay, we'll mention all these at the end again and give you the address in case you guys want to comment. Anyway.
We love you.
So another big news that we had, I guess it's the biggest news we have because we haven't had much, is that Osabu Fumio, or a.k.a. Osapi from the manga, has joined Twitter. Like, he was Naoko Takeuchi's editor, and he actually had a lot of input. And as far as I remember, he was actually the one who had the idea of making a story about Sailor uniforms and who fight for justice and all this stuff. Like, it was his, like, brainstorm idea, and Naoko started writing a story off of his comment.
I always go on his timeline and see how he communicates with other people.
Yeah, I do too.
So, like, someone asked him, was like, "Oh, do you create your own, like, otaku senshi?"
Yes.
And he was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
He was like, I think he read that and took that as, like, you know, like, otaku in Japanese is different than English, right?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think he was like, took that as, like, saying, you're like a big fat loser, kind of.
No.
His reply was just like, exclamation mark.
Oh, right. Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. But, and then someone explained, it was like, "Oh, no, like, we'd like to create our own." And he was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. And actually, it's pretty cute because, what's her name? Saki.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Like, she...
Yeah, I saw that. She's going to draw him one.
Yeah. No, actually, already did. She asked him. Yeah, she asked him what his favorite colors were. And then he said, like, red and orange and yellow or some colors. And then Esaki actually already drew him a Sailor Osabu. So I'll post that on the blog, but it's really funny. So anyway, Osabu has been, I'm not going to say very active, but he's been, you know, every once in a while. But he's real nice because he does actually answer to fans and he does answer questions and he's very patient. And that sense of humor that we saw, you know, we saw some of it during the 20th anniversary event in August. He was, like, making funny comments and everything like that, but, you know, they follow through in Twitter, so it's really funny. He's nice. You can approach him, but Brad here said something very smart, and I retweeted him, and I'm going to say it now again. Please be respectful with him. I mean, it's not very often that we get official people involved in Sailor Moon directly interacting with us as fans. So, guys, whenever you talk to him, don't get mad because he doesn't speak perfect English. Don't pester him. Like, tell us this, tell us that, tell us whatever. You know, he is really busy, especially now. He's dealing with all the new, the manga, I guess, the Isovan. He's dealing with all that. Like Brad already mentioned, he was just, and he actually just tweeted it too, that he was in a meeting with international publishers to see, you know, the future of the Sailor Moon manga overseas. So he's been really busy. So it's pretty nice of him to share stuff with us, but don't, like, get all over him, okay? Be nice, be respectful, and, you know, he's going to share the important stuff with us, whether, you know, eventually. So, you know, I thought that was a good point, Brad.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, if you guys aren't following him yet, I don't know to say if you should follow him because he mostly tweets in Japanese, but you can follow the translation Ellie from Miss Dream is doing. It's another Twitter account. So
yeah, that's really cool. It was like she actually asked him, and he gave her permission to make an English version of his tweets.
Yes.
So it's officially endorsed.
Yes, and of course Ellie, as usual, does a great job at all her tweets, and she keeps up and she's great. It's awesome.
But also, if you need help, just like, I know in Firefox browser, if you just like highlight something, right click, you can translate something immediately.
Yeah.
Like, or it's not like a perfect translation, but you might get the gist of what he says.
Yeah.
If you need help with the Japanese. Yeah. So that's really good too and useful.
And you also, you can just select, copy, and then paste it on Google Translate and it'll translate as well. You know, there's plenty of ways you can know what's going on. And of course, me, Brad, and all the other Sailor Moon fan types will update you on the big stuff. But it was nice to know for sure that it was him because we got a first update in months from the official Sailor Moon website, Sailor Moon channel. And they confirmed that he is indeed Osabu. The one we think we're talking to.
Yeah, it was like finally a non-horoscope update.
Yeah. So it's great that to know that we're actually talking to him and, you know, it's cool. It's cool.
That's very cool. I love it. I think it's a really good, I wish more people would do that kind of thing in the industry. Yeah. I worry for Naoko if she gets on Twitter.
I know. Actually, I'm very worried about her. I don't want to say I kind of don't want her to be on because I just know the fans are going to go crazy and she's going to get tired of it and she's, you know, she's going to, you know, just stop eventually.
Yeah. You get like all the people asking like ridiculous questions.
Yeah.
And yeah. It was like, is Chibi the Sailor Moon's mother, daughter?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I got
it. Is Sailor Moon the Moon Princess?
I think that's it. Other than, wait, did I skip something?
Oh, shameless plug.
Yeah.
While I was in Australia, I met up with Chibi Jen, the webmaster of Moonsticks and Chibi Land. And we actually did we met up and had a few coffees and filmed three videos in a Starbucks in Sydney. And so they're all up on YouTube now. The first one we speculate about the new anime. So if you love speculation videos, check that out. And the other two are just me and her interviewing each other about our websites and life. So yeah, if you ever wanted to know more about myself or Chibi Jen, check those videos out.
They're awesome. They're super cute. I love them all.
And yeah, there was no scripting at all. I was like, let's do a video. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, too bad that there was a little bit of noise in the background, but, you know, it's you can still understand, so it's pretty cute. And I loved seeing her, like, she's super sweet, you know? And, aw, I think that's about it on news. Oh, wait. Now I see what I missed. The plushies. Did we mention that?
No.
Should we?
You just did.
From GE Animation, we do have a few new things. We have some of the new plushies, body pillows. What body pillows do we have?
Tuxedo Mask.
Well, we already mentioned that one on last.
Well, he was coming soon, but now he's come.
Oh, God,
So Tuxedo Mask, Sailor Pluto, and Sailor Uranus are all out for sale now.
I'm sorry, I'm still thinking about that. He already came. Okay, and then what plushes do we have? We also have like the only Venus and what's the other one?
Yeah. Well, so previously we had Lunar Artemis, right. Luna Mask, but now Mars and Venus are also in stores.
Okay, Mars, that's the one. Yeah.
So, and there's been no word on Mercury or Jupiter. So, not even a coming soon. So I guess if these sell well and there's demand, they'll make them. But I think right now, apparently Venus and Mars are the most popular.
Okay, this is where we're going to introduce our break. And this time I got to choose a song and it's called Yume Dake Jena Dame. Wait. It's called
Yume Dake Jena Dame.
You got that? Good. It's called Yume Miru Dake Ja Dame. In other words, it's not enough to just dream. I think that's the translation. You know, just kind of like a positive, go do it. Don't dream about it. Do it. I think that's what they're trying to say.
It's the Nike song.
And just as a note, Brad was singing this earlier, and it was the cutest thing ever. You should sing for us more often, Brad. All right, anyway, this is Yume Miru Dake Janame. And we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
right.
Kanaraz, kanarazu yume wo kanau kara.
And we're back. That was oh man, what was the name again? Yume miru dake janame. Yume miru dake janame. There we go.
The dream song.
Yeah, whatever. The thing. That thing.
That one about just doing
dreaming
it.
Is no good. Yume miru dake janame.
So, yeah, I chose that song because it's cute. That's it. We still have a few minutes or almost an hour to go. But I guess we're going to start with discussions now. We normally do this a lot. We talk about some of the issues or whatever, or we answer your questions. So Brad has a particular story he wants to tell us about.
Yeah. No, it was funny. Last week I went to a friend's birthday party here in Tokyo, and my friend's a big Sailor Moon fan, but I wasn't aware her friends were as well. And so we got to the party. It was kind of in a izakaya, karaoke combo place.
Yeah.
And two of her friends rocked up in Sailor Moon cosplay.
Oh, cool.
As Sailor Venus, and one was as Chibi Moon, Mini Moon. And it was really, really funny. I actually gave my friend for her birthday present the Star Locket from the animation.
Oh, cool!
And, yeah, it was really, really, really fun. So, like, and eventually we all ended up singing, Sailor Moon songs in the karaoke, of course. So, like, there were a few people there who had no idea what we were doing. But, majority of people there were kind of big Sailor Moon fans.
Oh, cool.
It was really, such a really, really funny, unplanned Sailor Moon celebration. Yeah, it was really, really, kind of crazy and really, really fun.
That's so cute.
But it was a bit bizarre. I was talking to the girl who was dressed as Mini Moon. We were talking a bit throughout the night because she was sitting next to me. And I was asking her, I was like, oh, you're a big Sailor Moon fan? She's like, oh, yeah, I love Sailor Moon. It's so cute. And turned out she only knew the name of her character. She knew nothing else about who Mini Moon was. And I was like, yeah, your character's like 300 years old, right? And she's like, really? No, it's cute. I'm just cute. And I was like, yeah, but Sailor Moon's your mother and you're from the future. And she was like, no, Sailor Moon's not my mother. It was like, no, you are. Like, Sailor Moon's your mother. Tuxedo Mask is your father. Congratulations. And like, other people were accompanying there, like, no, it's true. Like, you're the daughter of Tuxedo Mask and Sailor Moon. She's like, what? They're my parents? I'm like, yeah, they are.
Spoiler alert!
She had no idea. Like, she got the costume because she was, like, kind of, I guess, a very, very general Sailor Moon fan.
Yeah.
Where she knew really very little about the character she chose just because it was pink and cute.
Yeah.
The girl who was Sailor Venus, like, she knew a lot more about it. And, she knew all about her character. And she even sang that song from the 80s, Venus.
Oh, cool.
And that was really, really cool. And people didn't get that, why it was what so ironic, until we explained that her character was Sailor Venus. And they're like, oh, come on. but it was really quite funny. This girl came dressed as, Chibi Moon or Mini Moon, and she had no idea who her character was. She knew the Sailor Moon theme song, and she sang that, and she loved singing. And quite a few of them were actually in bands in Tokyo, mm-hmm. and they perform in different clubs. And my friend, she's a really good singer. And she's kind of she's from Hawaii, but she ended up putting together this kind of Japanese rock band.
Yeah.
And a lot of the costumes that she wears on stage is very much Sailor Moon inspired.
Oh, cool.
And it's very, very, very cool seeing some of her perform sometimes. And she has this kind of like hardcore, kind of like gothic Sailor Moon costume on. And it's really, really fun. And it's cool to see Sailor Moon still have like random influences.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love to say that it's really, really deep into the general population's subconscious, because if you show somebody in a small skirt with a bow and two ponytails, they'll immediately say Sailor Moon. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's really cool.
So sort of off topic, the karaoke still has like Sailor Moon songs over there?
They have started taking some of them away. I remember when I first came to Japan like 9-10 years ago, they had everything. They had like all the musical songs were in there, or every single anime song, not even the popular ones, like every song was in there. It depends on the branches that you go to, like different company, karaoke companies. But in general now, they have like the opening song and maybe, what's that one? Tuxedo Mirage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Sailor Star song.
Yeah.
But for the rest of them, you'd really have to try searching for them and maybe go to a special like anime karaoke building, because there are a few of those and they have like every anime song in history. But the average karaoke place, not as many as they used to be, unfortunately.
Yeah. Aww, yeah. So sad.
But I don't know, I'm sure that will change actually with the new anime when that comes out.
Yeah.
Especially with Momoyoro Clover Z doing the songs, I'm sure they'll have all those songs too.
Cool. So what else can we kind of talk about? Okay, I hear typing.
Well, there's breaking news of the with the new anime.
Really?
There is no news.
Nah, breaking. No news.
Yeah. Still no news.
Yeah. But don't worry, guys. It'll come. It'll come. We're still, you know, a good 5 months away. So, you know, gotta be patient. And they're going to start releasing stuff, like, right when it's about to start, you know, probably a month before or something. So,
yeah. I've been telling everyone this, that, like, in Japan, it's very different than in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the West, when they have a TV series or, like, a movie, they'll have, like, a production blog online for, like, 2 years before it comes out. Like,
yeah.
A daily blog about behind-the-scenes stuff. In Japan, very different. Like, they'll just, like, yeah, like, assistant said, like, maybe a month before, we might get, like, the character designs or something. Or most likely we'll get, like, a leak from, like, maybe some merchandise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's...
Just...
Yeah, that's probably going to happen most likely. Well,
yeah, so...
Well, the good thing is, once they announce it, we don't have to wait much after that.
Well, exactly, yeah. Keeps us on our toes.
Yeah. So I asked you guys on Twitter if you had any questions for us. And one of the questions that Kitty... Oh, man. Sorry, sorry, Akiko, your name is a little bit hard. Kitty Cat Kiki. That's her Twitter name. She asked us to address something that really sparked our interest, and we even talked about it a little bit before we started recording. It's about the fake geek girl situation going on, and I really, sincerely, I don't want to go too deep into it, because this is a Sailor Moon podcast, not exactly a geek or nerd or freak culture, you know? But... You know, we're all mostly girl fans. Not sorry, Brad. Or
oi. Oi.
This might be an issue that affects some of us.
What is it? What is this geek girl thing you're talking about? Could you explain it to people who have no idea?
Yeah, but Eku, maybe you might have a little bit more idea. Like, you were talking about it a bit earlier.
It's the idea that... that girls who like geeky things or, you know, not necessarily mainstream things are doing it for male attention.
Mm-hmm.
Their love of whatever it is doesn't go that deep.
Right.
Even if it's not for male attention.
Right. And also girls, some of the girls are dressing very provocatively. But sometimes they don't even know about the character they're representing, like the girl Brad just told us about at the birthday party. I've heard a bit about this, and you know, it's basically that the guys from the geek and nerd community, you know, they're expressing negative feelings towards girls who are looking for attention in their realm. You know, from the beginning of time, nerd culture and sci-fi and all that has been mainly focused to guys. So they kind of had their community a little bit closed, and the girls who came into that culture were considered cool at the beginning, but then they got popular and whatever, and girls started, you know, dressing up and I don't know. They have this really closed culture that you really have to be really into it and know your stuff. They are very specific and very passionate about their hobbies, but if a girl doesn't have the same knowledge or behaviors as they do, they kind of like point at them and say that they're not true fans and shame them for that. And of course the slut shaming, that's that's of course part of it, the whole thing. It's a bad situation for us girls because now all of a sudden we can't like something. I don't know. It's
welcome into something we happen to like.
Yeah. Well, so for me, like from what I've seen of this situation, like for me, a lot of the people who are bashing these girls or girls in general in any computer, I think computer games too, that's a big issue.
Yeah.
Computer games and anime, manga fandoms, sci-fi fandom. Really kind of very socially awkward people who don't really know how to, I think maybe they spend a lot of their time online. They don't really know how to communicate with just real people in real life. And this girl, they're like on YouTube or like slamming people on YouTube or on Twitter saying, oh, who is this, like, you know, who's this slut or who's this bitch, blah, 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 blah. She doesn't know anything about what she's talking about. And it's really, really frustrating because it's kind of stereotyped that if a woman is good looking, then she can't be into anime. She can't be a gamer.
Right.
And it's this really ridiculous stereotype where I find it really perplexing because, well, for one, if you have that stereotype, you're kind of insulting yourself and the fandom saying that, like, if you're going to be a gamer, you have to be unattractive.
Yeah.
Or if you're into anime, you can't be good looking or you can't be fit. And it's a really, really strange thing. So when people go about that and insult good looking people for liking something, it's kind of a insult against yourself in a way. It's really, really, really bizarre. And I've seen that with them. Like, I watch a lot of IGN videos.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really good host, Naomi Kyle. And she gets a lot of slack. Like, she is a gamer. And she is into sci-fi and Battlestar Galactica. But you get a lot of people on YouTube who see her. And they think she's just like a paid model from IGN to do the news presentations.
Yeah.
Where she actually works there. She writes editorials. Like, she is a writer.
Yeah.
And she's intelligent. And she just happens to be a gamer. And just happens to be good looking and look after her body. And, yeah, there's quite a few on the IGN staff who suffer similar problems with the fan community. Because they see a good-looking woman and think, well, she can't be a real gamer.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time, people are, like, throwing this stereotype on these geek girls. And I think, honestly, majority of the time, like, 95% of the time, it's not even correct. Like, there are, like, I don't know, I guess that at the party I was talking about, there's a girl who, you know, didn't know who Chibiusa was. That's fine. But I think the majority of people who are doing, like, YouTube videos or have a blog about something geeky, if you want to call it that, normally almost always know their stuff. And it's just a really ridiculous kind of stereotype that if someone's good looking, it's fake.
But it's not. But it's not just the good looking thing. Mm. Sometimes they are just.
It's just shunning, because they're female.
Exactly, they're shunning out the girls. I mean, they just don't want female participation. You know, if a girl says she's into Star Wars, they will immediately question her. I mean, I like Star Wars. I've seen the whole movies like 10 million times. But I cannot tell you the names of the president of Kamino Planet, you know? Yeah.
It doesn't make you any less of a fan or any less of a geek about
exactly.
it.
Kamino has no president.
That's a thing, that these guys have been into their fandoms for a long time. And women haven't been allowed in those fandoms for a long time. So you're a good fan if you've been into it for a long time. Since girls weren't allowed, we're automatically excluded. So,
Well, for me, it's reeks of kind of elitism. And compare this back to Sailor Moon. It's very similar, I think. You see that online now, where people are, like, saying which is better, the Japanese or the English versions of the anime. And back in the 90s, it was insane. It was actually kind of a violent place to be online, where if you're saying you like the English dub, because everyone started going, like, watching Japanese anime was really unusual at the time.
Yeah.
So it was like, well, I watched the Japanese version. Oh, I'm like special now and like, cool. I'm more aware, like, this is the correct version and the English version is the wrong version. And it was actually quite intimidating to admit that you like the English version. And it was very, kind of very elitist. And if you just joined on a fandom saying, oh, I love Serena and Darien, you would get like bombarded with like messages, like hate mail and... on any forum, and even on websites, you get, like, hate mail. It was really ridiculous. And despite the fact that people were native English speakers, and it's completely normal to watch an English version of a show if your first language is English.
Yeah.
And even now, I'm very much pro, like, there's nothing wrong at all. The assumption that something's wrong with watching an English version, I think, is really arrogant. But it was a very similar thing back then. So it was just kind of like people like to feel like they're part of this kind of elite kind of group. They're doing something special that not everyone else can do. But then the second, the majority actually start to experience the same thing or participate in the same discussion. Mm-hmm. They feel confronted, like they're not special anymore. And that it's kind of like they're fighting to prove that they're more knowledgeable than everyone else about something.
Yes.
Where it's okay not to have watched all the musicals, all the live action episodes, all the anime episodes. And I think it'd be very hard to find a fan who has.
Yeah.
I have, by the way. But it's a very similar thing. It's like, with the Star Wars, for example, it's like, it's good to know your stuff, but you also have to remember respect and just how you look from the outside if you're acting that kind of way. But even then, like, if you meet someone who doesn't know something, that's a chance to actually educate them and invite them into the group. And then, you know, support them and nurture them if they're interested in learning. Don't force it on them. But it's not an opportunity to, like, say, well, you don't know this. Don't want to talk to you. Get the fuck off. Yeah. No, it's the same in business, any type of business you run. If someone walks into your cafe and they don't know what a latte is, you don't laugh at them and tell them to get the hell out. You educate them and then you get their business,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the same in life. Yeah, like, I'm sure, like, all three of us get asked a lot of questions on Sailor Moon on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And, we don't say, you don't know that, block. No, we answer the question and encourage people to ask more and create a dialogue and a friendly community and expand the community. If you don't do that, your fandom is actually going to cave in on itself because no one new is going to be joining.
Yeah, good point.
You're going to be the only one left.
I know people who no longer participate in online fandoms because of the people in the fandoms.
Mm.
So it's a sad situation, but fortunately it's been, you know, addressed by a lot of people. And I think once you identify the problem and people are starting to put a name on that problem, then they'll watch out for, I don't know, that's my hope anyway.
Here's a interesting point to make. So let's say you're a straight guy and you want a girlfriend. And there's an attractive girl who's trying to be interested in something that you're interested in.
Right.
Your reaction should be, well, thank you for taking the time to show an interest. Not, what are you doing? You don't know anything about this. I don't know. If they're making an effort. Yeah. And they don't, the girls who don't know stuff, like most do, but like for those who don't and they're making an effort, and I don't know if I was a straight single guy, you know what I mean? Like, that's an opportunity. It's not a reason, you know, like you don't insult them, make them cry,
right?
And then go, why aren't any girls in this fandom?
Exactly. Well, I mean, I was reading one article, I can't remember right now where it was, but. Mostly, all of it is because it's their insecurities. I don't want to perpetuate the stereotype, but most of the geek guys are kind of famous for not having girlfriends. The thing is, I think they find refuge in their series, refuge in these books, refuge from the constant rejection they might get outside. I don't know. I like I said, I don't want to perpetuate the stereotype, but this is what I'm getting from it. You know, that guys are rejected from the daily life, so they find a space that is theirs, you know, that like a little fandom, like a little base where they can be free and they don't have to worry about if a girl is going to think they're weird or not. But once the girl walks into, it's like the boys' room where it says no girls allowed.
Yeah, the reality's changed.
Yeah, exactly. So now the girls are allowed to walk in and out of the room and they don't like that because they don't feel safe anymore.
No, exactly. It sounds burst bubble.
Yes.
It's like, hey, girls can like this stuff.
And yes.
Yeah. So it is that kind of, it's the minority, very much the minority of the fandom, which fits that stereotype, which is causing the trouble, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I think actually the best thing that's happened in the last 10, 20 years is geeky, I'm doing the finger quotation marks, geeky topics are now more mainstream, which is a good thing. Because it means like, series that you like are getting more viewers, selling more merchandise, so they actually create more stuff for you to consume.
Yes.
And girls, don't be ashamed if you don't know every detail. You can still love what you love.
Yeah, I didn't want to get too much into this, but I think we just generally talked about it. Yes. And then,
it's good to keep it real.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't want this to become a nerd podcast or a geek podcast. I want it to be a Sailor Moon podcast. So let's get back into it. Okay, anyway, I'm going to go check if we have any other questions. Brad, eres adorable. Somebody commented on Facebook. This is from Carito Ramos. I think she is Latin. I don't want to say what country. I don't know. Anyway, it says, I have a question. In case there's a new manga of Sailor Moon, which I hope happens, what would you want to be focused on? Pre-Silver Millennium, before Princess Serenity was born and the Silver Millennium came to be? Silver Millennium, how Prince Endymion and Princess Serenity met and the situation around them? Or C, would you like it to be focused on the sailors and the conflict between the moon and Earth? D, the present, new adventures. E, focus on the sailors instead of just Sailor Moon. F, Crystal Tokyo focused on Chibiusa. G, the same character, different universes or realities. H, all of the above.
How would that work?
Or I, create your own story, justify your answer. Okay, that was
all of the above. Yeah. What do you think, Sissin?
Oh, damn. I was, damn it. I wanted you to go first so I can think. Okay, let me go back to my years. When I started, I mean, when the anime finished and I started reading the mangas, I never finished reading the mangas because we didn't get them over there in Mexico. But I definitely, definitely wanted to know more about Endymion and Serenity and, like, mostly their life on the moon. Like, they cover so little of it in the anime, but yet it was so sweet and enchanting and mysterious because, you know, they just show you bits and pieces. I am interested in whatever could, what happened before that, so, you know, the story could evolve into what we already know. So that's what I would like, a pre-Silver Millennium and Silver Millennium, so we can know who is Sailor Moon's dad. You know, how, I think you tweeted, Brad, that Queen Serenity, Usagi's mom isn't from the moon, she landed there.
Mm.
So...
Yeah. Yeah, she came from elsewhere in the universe.
Yeah, so what's up with that? Where'd she come from, and why did she choose the moon and not Earth? You know, just a little bit of background, and then start the story. Eku, how about you?
Personally, I would want to find out about Crystal Tokyo. I kind of want to find out, like, more about how Crystal Tokyo came about. Because it was sort of convoluted and, you know, just alluded to in the stories. So I'd like to hear that story and then go into the future and see what the new scouts are like and see what the future is like.
Yeah.
I mean, if Sailor Moon was the ultimate senshi, Eternal Sailor Moon was the ultimate senshi, then what comes after? What more could there be to fight?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, like, well, with animation wise, I've said a few times that I would really like an American cartoon series of Sailor Moon, like a completely fresh, completely different style, like the basic concepts, like teenage girls transforming into superheroes, maybe the same character, same like costumes, but different animation style, different storytelling, more Western, and I think that'd be nice, like another fresh. Something different for the fandom. Because you've got, like, musicals, anime, live action, like an American cartoon would be, like, just something nice and different. I don't want a retelling of, like, Queen Beryl again. Like, I like Beryl, but I can only have so much of her.
Yeah, we're going to have retelling. Her,
and then we're going to see her again in the new anime, most likely. And I'm going to be like, great, the origin story again. but manga-wise, I thought it would be cool because, like, you know, they get reincarnated over and over and over again. I think it'd be good to start from scratch in a future timeline, maybe have, like, you know, futuristic sci-fi, like, cities and stuff.
Ooh.
And, like, five new girls who awaken as, Sailor Moon, Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Mars, and they remember their past lives in Crystal Tokyo,
Oh, and that's the present, cool.
And Silver Millennium, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's basically like it's a fresh start. So they have like new civilian names, and maybe of course they'd awaken as like the Sailor Star versions, I guess. But yeah, I thought that would be cool. You have like new baddies. Yeah, very different visual appeal. I thought that would be a really interesting idea.
Yeah, that's cool. I never thought about that, but and that wasn't part of the question, but it's okay.
Well, wasn't there a
Yes,
I'll create my own story.
Yes, you're right.
And he totally justified it.
It would be cool.
Yes.
It would be cool. I mean, that's a really original idea. But I mean, like, they wouldn't necessarily have to be five girls. It could be some girls and some boys.
Ooh.
Yeah. They've been reincarnated, you know?
Actually, I would really, yeah, actually, that would be really interesting. I would really like some male characters. There needs to be more male characters. Because Tsuna Mask is cool, but there needs to be some other, like, not necessarily even love interests for the characters, but supporting male superhero characters.
Yeah.
What's the next question?
That's it.
There's one from Brooks Radatz.
Oh.
And she asks, what's your favorite Sailor Moon manga, favorite Sailor Moon movie, and favorite Sailor Moon episode?
Well, manga, I can't say because I'm a little bit behind and we still have a few mangas to go.
Well, I guess like Sailor Moon, like I guess event that happens in the manga. Because like a whole volume is going to be difficult to pin down. Yeah, I think.
But still. No,
I can pick a whole volume.
Sure, must be difficult.
Well, for everybody else. No, I like that first volume the best. I just love that early art that she did, and where it's so cute, and you're just kind of finding out everything, and it's not so serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Yeah. That really hooked me. So that has a soft spot in my heart.
Aww.
What's your favorite movie?
R. It's the most like a movie to me.
Oh, okay.
And it's just, it's so pretty, and, I mean, just so dramatic.
Yeah.
And what about the, what's your episode?
I don't know what the Japanese name is, but in the second season, Cherry Blossom Time,
my very
favorite episode ever. Like, when she says, when Luna says to her, you know, you didn't really want to be Sailor Moon today. It just, it hits my heart. You didn't want to have to be a Supergirl today, but you went and you did it. I love that episode so much.
I think we already talked about this because I remember you mentioned
it. So in a previous episode,
yeah. But I'll mention it anyway again. But manga, I can't choose one, at least not yet. Okay. Movie, yes, we all know. Supers. Mm-hmm. Supers is that's my favorite one. And episode is the episode where what's his name? Helios. Where Helios can't see Rini anymore because she became that adult. And
that was a good episode.
Yeah, and so he takes her to Elysion and they flying and what all this stuff, and then they have their first kiss. Okay, that's my favorite episode.
Well, that's funny because I think I mentioned this before too. Like, my favorite episode, funnily enough, is from the Super season as well, and has the same animation director as your favorite episode.
Okay.
It's the final episode of Supers, which is kind of like it picks up after they've like destroyed the circus,
mm-hmm.
and they float up to the sky, and it has that flashback to Queen Helenia's kingdom, and from her younger self and how she gets corrupted by the mirror. And it's one of those episodes where the English and the Japanese versions are equally as good.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually prefer the English version for this because I thought the voice acting for Queen Helenia with her younger self was really, really good. And even the music and the animation was superb. And the whole jump to get Chibi Moon as she's falling over the Tokyo skyline.
Yeah.
And then Sailor Moon transforms into Princess Serenity as she's falling through the sky.
Yes.
And for me, that whole scene was, it kind of encapsulates the whole, like, moon princess from a past life in the modern day city. Like, we never really see that much of that in the series. And for me, that was a really powerful image of this moon princess flying over Tokyo. And, that was cool. That whole episode for me is just really strong. Like, there's not much in that episode that seems filler. Like, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Like I said, well, my favorite movie, same as this in, the Supers one.
Yes.
And the manga, I always liked the Supers arc in the manga, actually. I thought, well, kind of that season is kind of technically the weakest with story in the anime. Like, the manga is the strongest, I think. The artwork is amazing, and the story is great, and all 10 sailors get together, and...
She does it gets a lot more fun again when you hit the Supers part of it.
Mm.
Like, when they go to see the solar eclipse, and there are jokes again.
Yeah. You know? I also get, like, in the manga, the human forms of the cats and the crows.
Oh, that's right.
Like,
yeah.
There's big revelations with, like, the supporting mascots, which is kind of cool. So a lot happens. And you get, like, the Earth Kingdom flashbacks and...
Mm.
Mm.
Good choice.
Yeah.
And I think that's it, right? There's no more questions?
Hold your horses.
Oh.
Breaking question.
Actually, I'm looking at the random posts other people do on our Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't... See, this is where one of those things where, like, people are going to call us, like, those geeky girls who don't know about the details of the anime as much as other people. Thomas Rutigliano asks, what's your favorite Sailor Moon animator? And this is one of those things where, like, I'm not really, like, I understand, like, we have the same animator for those two episodes that we like, the animated director.
Yep.
Can't remember her name. And I don't really know the names of all the other animated directors.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell the stylistic differences, but I'm not one of those fans who gets really into the technical aspects of the animation.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really tell you, but she is my favorite.
Yes.
So if you look up those two episodes, that woman, she's my favorite animating director.
Because she's my favorite, too, that's the only one I've actually memorized, and it's Ikuko Ito.
Actually, my favorite animator on Sailor Moon are those two girls who were working on that Sailor V movie.
Heck yes!
Do you guys have a favorite animator? Like, Echo, do you have one?
Well, I don't know the technical aspect. I'm trying to think of an episode example. Like, when Usagi and her family go to the lake... that episode. I love that animation style where it's really
simple. I just watched
simple.
That episode. Recently.
Did you? Yeah, I love that really simple but, like, really action-y animation style. That always sticks with me. I mean, I love the beautiful transformation sequence animation, but in terms of, like, watching the story, I really like those episodes where that animator does it.
Cool. We actually got two more questions. And I'm sorry if I can't pronounce your name, guys. Buna Cerveza asks, we kind of answered this, but any idea if or when they will release a teaser to what the new series will be, and we're going to have to wait until it premieres. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of already answered that already. Just hang in there. And one from Brianna Angelakis. Sorry. Do you guys think this new anime will debut on June 30th? Because that's Usagi's birthday.
Yeah. June 30th is a Sunday. Do new things usually premiere on Sundays?
It might be if it's going to be like a once a week thing. I think Sailor Moon used to air on Saturdays.
We don't even know the format yet.
Yeah.
So
it
we don't know if it's going to be like, a whole like episode a week for a year kind of thing, or just like 20 episodes or.
Yeah. We don't have anything official. I mean, we can't. It would be nice. It would be nice if they coincide, you know, with Usagi's birthday. But honestly, I don't think they take all their decisions on that based on the character's birthday. You know,
is June 30th in summer?
Yeah.
It is?
Yes,
yeah.
It is. I mean, but like I said, I don't think they're like doing it specifically. Oh, we have to do it. We have to do it on Usagi's birthday. I don't think so. I think they have to look at the ratings, at when kids are out of school, at when is their best time for them. You know, I think it varies too much to, you know.
No, that's a Sunday, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, so actually, I'll say, like, if it's going to be, like, a one episode a week for a whole year and it's aimed at, like, little girls, then odds are it will air on Sunday mornings because that's when they do the Power Rangers, Kamen Rider, and Pretty Cure kind of kids block.
Yeah.
Okay.
On Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
So that could work, actually.
Okay.
For example, like, if they're going to get, like, heaps of viewers if they edit on a Sunday, but Usagi's birthday happened on a Wednesday, they're not going to put it on a Wednesday.
Yes.
Like, they'll put it on a Sunday.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
So.
Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, and that's it. That's all the questions, I think.
Okay.
So.
It was kind of slow this time around.
Rack your brains, Moonies. Come up with questions.
Yeah. I mean, we've answered the episode one like 4 times already.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Well, I guess I'm not sure if you said this on the episode, but this is our 2-year anniversary for Mooney Tunes. Yeah,
oh my God,
so it's been going for a while. It's going to be cool, later this year, maybe in 2 podcast times or 3 podcast times, we're going to be talking about the new anime and what we thought of the new anime.
Oh,
as
my
it's
God,
it.
That's so exciting!
So it'll be interesting. We'll have to see, I don't know, if we should change the format or something. Because if the episodes are airing once a week, should we do a Mini Tunes once a week to talk about it?
Oh,
or,
man.
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Then again, it's going to be Sailor Moon. It's a big freaking deal. And I would totally go through the editing process every week if it's full of Sailor Moon goodness, you know?
You would just be honest not to make errors so you didn't have to edit so much.
Yes, exactly.
You guys, come on.
this one is going to have an extra, a half an hour cut out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys think? So let's assume that we're going to do our next episode in a month from now. So end of February, at the earliest.
Right.
What do you think will have happened by then?
Honestly, not much. That's just me. I don't think we're going to get much next month. February is a very slow month. Merchandise-wise, and there's nothing going on in February. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to start seeing things in April. That's when I believe we're going to start getting, the pre-orders for that toy that we all want, the figure arts.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's when I think we're going to start having the pre-orders. And then I think GE Animations is going to start producing a little bit more of Supers merchandise. What has come out? No, it's all the end of S, right?
It's all S, yeah.
Yes, it's all S. But they do have the rights for Supers. So we might have some of that merchandise. And then, maybe some news from the new Isoban, the third generation manga. I think February, no. Maybe March, most likely April. That's just me.
Yeah, I can see, I don't know, because, the Isoban, third gen manga's been delayed. It was going to be, I think, September, October, originally. So it's already been delayed, 4 or 5 months, right?
Yes.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they gave us a date by the end of next month, just because of how busy Osabu has been and the meetings with the international publishers and everything. So it's a possibility, and they've already got out the new printings of the second gen manga in Japan. So that's already out of the way, and that's done, basically. So the next item of business for them would be this version of the manga. So I could see maybe a release date by the end of next month. But, maybe not much else. I wouldn't expect any anime news or anything. But we will have the Volume 9 of the English manga out.
Yeah.
So we'll have, the new translator in our hands. And so I guess we'll have that to talk about in the next episode. And, fingers crossed for some new surprises. Maybe a new Hot Topic t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Or something cool.
They did announce, those little figurines. I don't know if you guys remember those. Months and months and months ago. It was little plastic figurines.
From GE?
Yeah, from GE. They never came out.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They're not even on the website anymore.
See, really? This is how they're getting us. They're telling us about it months and months in advance. We forget, and then we're like, oh, surprise, I didn't want that after all.
That's interesting. No, it was I went through their whole catalog on their website, and I completely forgot about them, but they went on there.
Yeah, yeah.
They've removed them. Interesting. Maybe they saw the ones coming out in Japan and they thought, we can do better than that.
I really hope it's the case. I don't think so. I just think that they gave a priority to the plushies. It was easier and cheaper to make them.
But also, too, I think selling merch for the old anime, their time's running out.
Yes.
Because once the new anime comes out, everyone's going to want stuff for the new anime.
Yes.
Whatever, I'll still buy the old stuff.
Well, yeah, of course. But even then, you admit that once you see new anime stuff, you're going to want that first instead of the old stuff.
It depends.
So,
I mean, there's always going to be a market for the older stuff, especially since there might be new fans introduced to the anime and they're going to want to go and back and buy some of the old school stuff. But mm-hmm. I don't think the market is going to be that, you know, that big for them. I, like Brad said, I think the new stuff is what's going to really sell now.
Yeah. So they've got to get the old anime out on DVD. If they are going to do it again on DVD, for English-speaking regions, they've got to do it soon before the new anime comes out. Because once that happens, we're all going to be buying the new anime on DVD.
Yes.
Get on it, someone.
Anyway, I think that's it for this episode of Mooney Tunes. I didn't think we had enough to talk about, but again, 1 hour and a half.
Cut down to 10 minutes.
Well, I don't know how this one's going to edit, but it's probably going to be a little bit shorter than that. But anyway.
shorter.
Anything you guys would like to add, Echo?
It's good to be back.
Yay! Happy anniversary, Echo, especially for you and me, because we've been doing on this for, like from the beginning.
Happy anniversary. I'll love you forever.
Me too. And Brad, anything you'd like to add?
Shameless plug, check out my site and www.moonkitty.net. Follow me on Twitter at moonkittynet. Almost at 10,000 followers. So,
wow.
Yeah, so come follow me on Twitter. It's really, really fun.
And you can get 11,000.
And then off to 100,000. yeah, I want to be Justin Bieber. That's my aim. But it's really fun. Good way to communicate with me. And and I'll communicate with you as well. And YouTube, check on YouTube. Back into making videos again after my Christmas break. Pinterest, come follow my pins on Pinterest. And Facebook page too. So the MoonKittyNet Facebook page is just Facebook/MoonKittyNet, maybe. Do a search, you'll find it. And
so basically, Brad owns the Sailor Moon internet.
Yes.
No. But I'm willing to share. So doesn't matter if you're a fan of the dub, the sub, if you're attractive or average. Look me up.
That is a beautiful message, Brad. Thank you. And well, this was the team from the Tanner One Obsession blog. Also with us was Echo.
Bye, everybody.
And Brad.
Sailor Moon says.
Bye, guys.